Welcome to Diva Talk Radio Studio D, an insider's view of diabetes news and information beyond the headlines. Here's your host, Mr. Diva Dedic.
Welcome back to Diva Talk Radio. In this segment, I'm thrilled to welcome Sam Talbot. Hi, Sam.
Hey, Max. How are you?
Hi. I want to tell my listeners that you're the executive chef at the Surf Lodge in Montauk, as well as at the Mondrian Soho in New York City.
That's right. The name of the restaurant is called Imperial No. 9. We just opened about 2 months ago.
But perhaps you're best known for being on Bravo's Top Chef TV series. And you're living
true,
with type 1, and I love your Divalicious motto. It's cook nice. I think that's amazing. So
I appreciate that. Our divas love that.
You know, what I think is interesting is that you're a person living with type 1, Sam, who's committed to helping teach families who are affected by diabetes to cook healthy so they can prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. So I wanted to ask you about your work in that area.
Sure. You know, I mean, there's a lot of stigma. There's a lot of folklore out there that, you know, living with diabetes, that ultimately you could end up with nerve damage or, you know, losing vision or, you know, all those sort of horror stories that come along with, that you hear with being a diabetic, whether it be type 1 or type 2. So with that being said, I'm just trying to put that to rest as far as, you know, raising awareness about eating fresh and trying to, you know, obviously cook nice, but, you know, taking into consideration about, you know, using less refined sugars, using natural sweeteners such as Truvia or in replace of, you know, refined sugars or agave and things like that. And it's just about, you know, I have a really great platform, obviously, with the new newly opened restaurant in the city. So it's a great platform just to be able to have and speak and help raise awareness about it.
So going back, when you were first diagnosed, were they talking to you at all about healthy eating, or were you how was that conversation? Because you've been living with type 1 for our listeners for at least, 15 years now?
Well, I'm 33 now.
Mm-hmm.
And I was diagnosed when I was 11. So
okay.
Pretty good,
so
yeah.
Was healthy eating even an issue back then, or how was – I'm just curious, like, how you got involved with that?
Well, you know, I think it just came natural. I mean, my parents raised me in a very healthy household. We didn't have a lot of soda or, you know, pop. We didn't eat a lot of you know, we didn't eat, like, sugary breakfast cereals or anything like that. We always had, like, Cheerios or something, you know? And so I just – it just kind of came natural. It was just a natural progression. I feel like, you know, any kid growing up and they're that young, there's – you go over to a friend's house, and, of course, you're excited when you see their candy or chip drawer when you come from a house with nothing. But, you know, when that's just kind of – that stuff didn't exist in my house. But – yeah, you know, I mean, it was just a natural progression from cooking. I started cooking at a young age at Dean and DeLuca. And
and we love Dean DeLuca, and they have a tons of, like, sweet pastries and things like that. So, I mean, that's a great restaurant in New York City.
Yeah, well, I actually started the one in Charlotte, North Carolina.
And then you moved up to New York about how long ago?
I moved to New York when I was 23, so about 10 years ago.
And then you also mentioned in some of the bios I read that having the diagnosis of diabetes actually helped kind of further your interest in finding out about more sustainable foods and getting much more involved into the food culture outside of cooking. Is that correct?
100%. I mean, you know, when dealing with diabetes and, you know, obviously everything that goes, well, as not just dealing with diabetes, but, you know, any human, everything that goes in your mouth counts, right? So, and I have to pay, you know, I have to be a little bit more calculated, a little bit more methodical with what goes into mine as a diabetic. So with that being said, my, you know, my constant research and dedication is to just keep finding the best product, whether it be, you know, the freshest produce with the cool, with the, you know, a little hippie family in upstate New York growing the most killer tomatoes that anyone's ever seen, or, you know, a local fisherman in Montauk just getting, like, great, sustainable local clams every day. You know what I mean?
Do you run across a lot of other people living with diabetes in the same field, or no? I'm just curious because I haven't seen that many people living with diabetes who really work in the food industry.
I mean, there's definitely diabetic chefs. I know a few. I mean, mm-hmm. I know two, to be honest. So,
okay.
You know, I know a lot of chefs, but there are like, actually, I think one's diabetic, and one has a diabetic child. So, you know, I don't come across it every day, but I think that the people that come across me and what I'm trying to do, I think they're into it. Because at the end of the day, we're, you know, trying to be as eco-responsible as possible. We're trying to just use really great product and keeping it, you know, a little bit just more and over our wellness conscious, you know, so you're not, you can eat, you know, when you come to the restaurant, it's about, you know, it's about sharing a lot of food and trying different product and just eating throughout the day. You know, you try different things and you don't want to eat food that's heavy in carbs and food that spikes your glycemic index through the roof. So it's just about, you know, being a little bit more calculated and trying to eat farm fresh and healthy as possible.
I love that. I mean, it sounds like you have a game plan, and, you know, we have a popular game called Diabetes Numerology we play on the radio to test people's blood sugar IQ. My team
right.
thinks, Sam, that your real-life situation of being a contestant on Top Chef and perhaps experience a blood sugar low, like, say, 57, would make for a great puzzle. So I'd like to ask you, did that ever happen to you on the show where you had a low blood sugar?
Yeah, a few times. I can remember filming it and my sugar being low. You know, I always travel prepared.
How do you handle that? What's your advice you could give our listeners? I'd love to know that.
Yeah, so basically what I mean, I carry glucose pills or a few bottles of juice or peanut butter crackers wherever I go.
Okay.
You know, I just have a backpack. And actually, I have a book coming out called The Sweet Life, October 24th. You know, November is Diabetes Awareness Month.
Right.
So my book comes out, and it's a book dedicated to a diabetic lifestyle. It's called The Sweet Life. It's about 75% cooking and recipes. A lot of the recipes actually use natural sweeteners such as Truvia. And then there's also like a 25% lifestyle, and it's how to sort of how I've circumnavigated, you know, the globe and from being diagnosed at age 11 to being 33 with type 1 diabetes and traveling and with low blood sugars all over the world. So, but when it happened on Top Chef, yeah, I would just run to and, you know, grab a bottle of juice and pop some glucose tablets. But the whole staff knew and everybody was well aware. So
I love that you were raising your voice and educating everyone around you that you might have a low. Or did you experience a high as well?
Yeah, I mean, highs are a little bit more, for me at least, they're a little bit easier to deal with. You know, you can just, it's kind of a waiting game. You take your insulin and you just wait it out. When, you know, when you're dealing with a low blood sugar, that's, you know, timing is of the essence, right? You have to act fast. You don't have a lot of time and your thoughts get a little discombobulated. So I'm always prepared, like I said, with some, you know, some sort of snack or peanut butter cracker or juice always at all times.
Were you thinking that was an adrenaline rush, the stress, or just the long filming?
All of the above.
Or all of the above that were affecting you?
Lack of sleep, high stress, obviously not the same eating routine. You know, living with diabetes, you have to be, like I said, a little bit more methodical, you know, a little bit more routine in your regimen. And when you're on a reality cooking show where stress is, you know, one of the appealing factors, high stress, cooking in a kitchen, it makes for great TV. So, yeah, all those things took into consideration, you know, lack of sleep, lack of diet, exercise, adrenaline, all of it.
But the truth is for our listeners that you have a game plan, you carry something with you, you're a bit of a rock and roller, so even cool people, if you're listening, are prepared for highs and lows, according to Sam Talbot. Now, Sam, you're on your feet all the day as a chef, too, so what kind of shoes are you wearing? Because I know in the kitchen some people might be thinking about being barefoot. We know we want to urge people not to do that, so we'd love to know from you, what kind of shoes do you wear in the kitchen?
I'm sorry, can you say that one more time?
What kind of shoes do you wear in the kitchen? Because you're on your feet all day, and
yeah.
You know people living with diabetes love to cook too, so I'm just wondering if you have any advice on that.
Yeah, so I wear native shoes. They're like, you know, slip resistant. They come in great colors. I wear purple ones. I'm trying to make, you know, the color purple as awareness through diabetes, and so, yeah, that's what I wear, is native shoes. They're just a great kitchen shoe, and then, you know,
well,
work outside as well too.
And I don't know, blueberries aren't purple, they're kind of more blue, but are divas, summer's coming, divas love their cocktails. I heard you've got some great sugar-free cocktail recipes.
Yeah, that's right. With Truvia, I came up with this recipe. You know, everybody loves a good mojito, but obviously as diabetics, you can't drink a mojito because it's tons and tons of refined sugar. So out at the Surf Lodge, I took, you know, I've been working hand-in-hand with Truvia, huge supporter of the product and sort of what it meant in my life over the past 2 years to be able to, you know, have the foods that I desire, but not having any sort of spike in my glycemic index, which is awesome. So I use it all the time. But what I did was to take fresh blueberries, muddle it with the Truvia, add a little bit of, you know, alcohol, rum, some club soda, and muddle it with fresh ice and lime juice, and it's amazing.
Does Truvia dissolve easily into regular water? Or do you have to boil it?
Well, you can do it anyway. You could make a Truvia simple syrup, and then use so it dissolves in the water like you would make a simple syrup with regular sugar. It takes on the same, it totally disappears.
Is that recipe going to be in your new cookbook too? I mean, your book, The Sweet Life?
You can actually get that recipe right now online at www.truvia.com. Under, I think I have a section called Savories and Sweet, and it's under the...
Well, I'm going to ask you to send us one of your recipes from the new book, and we'll share it with all our Diva listeners, because not only are you fun to talk to, you're fun to look at. I'm sure the book is going to have lots of photos, right?
Tons, exactly.
Well, Sam, I'd like to thank you for stopping by and being on Diva Talk Radio today. We hope you'll come back soon for another visit.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it, Max. Have a good day.
All right.
Diva Talk Radio Studio D is produced by the national nonprofit Divabetic, providing wellness with a while for people living with and affected by diabetes.
Good morning, angels.
Good morning, Charlie.
The Divabetic Angels of Outreach, yours truly, Mr. Divabetic, and more this month on Diva Talk Radio.